Well, I think when you hold God in high esteem, when you respect who He is, when you honor what He says His purposes are for you, then that puts things in alignment.
Words of spiritual wisdom there from Crystal Evans Hurst. And she's back with us again today on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
John, it really is a privilege to be able to bring programs like this one that we're going to hear today from Dr. Tony Evans and his daughter. She's a spark plug, Crystal Evans Hurst. We sat down with them in Tony's office at Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and had a really good time together. We spoke about their recent book release, Kingdom Woman, and it's published by Focus on the Family in partnership with Tyndale. Tony and Crystal's message is full of encouragement for the at-home mom or the working mom or single moms. There is wisdom here for all of you, and it will supply you with some great tools to get through the day and to do it in a way that really does honor the Lord. So, John, let's go ahead and pick up the conversation.
All right, and we're going to start with a question, Jim, that you asked Crystal about why she and her dad wrote the book Kingdom Woman.
I'm in the process of, I'm in the middle of my life, I think. I'm still mothering small children, teenagers, young adults. Haven't arrived in that sense, but I've been in a lot of places. I've been a single woman. I've been a single mom. I am a part of a blended family, seeking to find my own purpose as I'm walking through life. And I think that having good examples in my life is what motivated me to want to be a part of the project, because I don't think I've arrived. I don't think you really ever arrive, but I think there's always someone that's a step ahead of you on the journey. And I've been blessed to have a mom and grandmothers who have shown me what a kingdom woman looks like and what I can aspire to be.
So what does that kingdom woman look like? Let's start there. What should a woman be doing to glorify God in her daily routine?
Well, I think the first and foremost thing that she should be doing is just seeking out His will for her life. And that means that she has to be walking closely with Him so that she can hear His voice and can know exactly what it is that He has for her to do in this specific time and season of her life. If you get your marching orders from the master, then you know exactly who you're supposed to be in that season of life that you're living.
Tony, in what ways does this book kind of mirror your message in Kingdom Man? I would imagine there are some parallel tracks here.
Absolutely. First of all, the mere definition of a kingdom woman. We define a kingdom man as a male who is operating under divine authority. Well, that basically is the concept of a kingdom woman. It is a female who is operating under the rule of God in every area of life. When God created Adam and Eve, He gave His covenant to both of them. He said, let them rule. And that should make every woman feel special, because that means that God never intended for His purposes in history to exclude her. She was to be fully a part of God's program. And so that means that, ladies, you do not have to accept second-class citizenship in the kingdom, because you are critical to the kingdom. And so we try to make this book, Crystal and I, a book of empowerment. Women ought to be able to give a female roar, a lioness roar, you know, whether you're single or married, because when you finish reading this, you're going to feel like, part of this jungle is mine, and I'm supposed to be roaming this jungle and doing some things too. So because we feel so many women, the culture has neglected them, abused them, men have mistreated them or simply made them objects. And ladies are more than that from God's point of view. And we wanted to express that, make them feel that, and make them run to that.
Well, let's talk about that sense of value, because I think women, by and large, in the culture today do feel undervalued or not valued at all. And how does a woman find that value in God?
Well, the first and foremost thing is they have to let God define them and not everybody else. And that is the culture, the society, certainly the media. And unfortunately, men have misdefined women. Even the concept of being a helpmate. When you look at the Hebrew word for a helper suitable for Him, that Hebrew word is used of God's strength on behalf of His people throughout the Old Testament. So it's not just a cook and a cleaner and somebody to change diapers. This is someone who represents God's authority and power in day-to-day life. So that upgrades a lot of the definitions that women are given that keeps them away from the centerpiece of what God is doing. They are at the center of what God's purposes are in history.
Crystal, you talk about in the book Kingdom Woman, this fear of God, for a woman to first fear God? What does that mean? Because that can mean a lot of different things to people.
Well, I think when you hold God in high esteem, when you respect who he is, when you honor what he says his purposes are for you, then that puts things in alignment. And we live in a culture where the definition of woman, who she is, who she should be, is constantly being defined by different folks all the time. I mean, there's this through time, just when you look at even the feminist movement and how it shifted and changed over time, how we're defined, what that looks like. It's kind of become difficult to keep up with it. You have women who have been told they should be all and do all, and now they're struggling to bear the weight of it all. Mm-hmm. And when you fear God and let him define who you should be, let him define what you should carry, then that puts you in the right position then to receive what he has for you.
Do you think when you look at the cultural nuance of all of what you just said, so you look at the issue of abortion, the issue of no-fault divorce, all of those things which were sold to the culture decades ago to be liberating for women, that this is going to free women, you think it's accomplished that?
Well, I think if you look back to the Garden of Eden, just like Dad was talking about, Satan always comes to us with part of the truth. And that's what he did with Eve in the garden years ago, and that's what he does today. There are parts of it that are true. There are parts of it that, yes, we as women should be recognized for the talents, gifts, and abilities that God has given us. But then to sell the half-truth, which is use them outside of God's will, just sets you up for trouble. And so, yes, I do think that we have been sold part of the truth, which is you are worth more maybe than the culture is acknowledging. But the other half of it is don't seek your value outside of how God defines you and what he's asking you to do.
You know, it's a very interesting shift of words in the Garden of Eden with Eve. Up until that point, God defined himself as the Lord God. He used two Hebrew words, Yahweh Elohim, Elohim being God's power, Yahweh being God's relationship. But when he talked to Eve, he dropped Lord and kept God. So he wants women to keep religion, just don't let God rule in the relationship. So you can go to church, you can have Bible study, you can have your coffee and tea and fellowship groups, as long as Elohim is not also Yahweh. And so he wants to keep the religion, leave the Lord out, so that women get to define themselves, their relationship, their families, and everything else by a religious activity and not by the rule of God relationally in their lives.
And what's the net of that, Tony? Why does the woman struggle in life if that's all she gets out of the relationship with God?
Well, the only reason that the struggle happened at the level that it happened, we all struggle at different levels, but when the relationship is not intact like it ought to be, roles get flipped. That's what happened with in the garden. Eve became the leader. Adam became the passive responder. All hell broke loose. Sibling rivalry, murder, decadence in the culture. All of that was the result of Satan being able to shift the rule of God as God intended it to be. So ladies have got to get back to that divine rule, not allow anything or anyone to define it other than how God has defined it. That means they can now be under God, and to be under God in the Bible means to like being under an umbrella in a thunderstorm. It doesn't stop it from raining. It just stops it from raining on you.
That's good. Crystal, let's talk about some of the figures in the Bible, the women that stood out for you in your book, Kingdom Woman. What are those role models that grabbed your attention?
Well, you know, I think about Esther. She had a lot of things going for her. And because of her beauty and because basically the king picked her, she had an opportunity to go to a great place at a great time and have it be all about her. And what she realized is that the gift that she was given, her beauty in this case, and also her presence in front of the king, was not just for her benefit, but it was for an opportunity to seek God and say, what do you want me to do with this opportunity? How do you want me to use this to benefit the culture? And I think that is the key. We have so many women who are educated. We've been to school. We've had great jobs. We've had great work experience. We've raised kids. We've done all these great things. And what we don't want to lose is, what does God want out of this? Yes, it's great that I maybe went further than my mother or was able to accomplish more than women that came before me. But what does that mean? What am I supposed to do with this? And until we actually stop and ask that question, we really won't take complete advantage of what God has allowed for us to experience.
How would you answer that question for yourself?
Well, I think that I can look back and see how there are a variety of experiences, both work experiences that I've had, being a single mom. Even, you know, I was 19 when I had my first child, and she was born out of wedlock. All of those experiences, I can see how in this moment, at this time, even for writing Kingdom Woman, God has taken blended family, being a wife, and all of these different things, and allowed me to see what womanhood looks like from so many different angles. And so all of that adding up to now, I'll be honest, when my dad came to me and talked to me about writing the book, I really didn't want to. I really thought, no, this is not my season. I'm still raising my kids. My hands are still full. And it was a conversation with a friend that said, but this is the time. Look at all the experiences that you've had. And it's not just to say, I've had these experiences. This is the time when God is calling you, just like he called Esther to say, I've not just given you these experiences just to give them to you, but it's so that you can share what I've taught you through these experiences with other women.
Crystal, you said something that's very important, the brokenness that you experience. So many women, I think, feel that they've blown it, that they don't have the ability to live up to the standard. And something you just said about being 19 and having a child out of wedlock, how did you compensate for that emotionally? I mean, how did you go to your dad, who's a pastor, a well-known pastor? As a woman, how did you manage that emotionally? How did you work through it?
Well, you know what? I've been asked that many times, and I always give the same answer. I try to come up with a really interesting answer. But the real answer is, if I had to do it over again, I couldn't tell you how I did it. All I can say is that it's the grace of God, just in terms of walking through that. My parents are very loving. They were very supportive, but it wasn't easy. It was the hardest phone call I think I've ever had to make in my life. But I can honestly say as well that when you're in a situation where you're completely dependent on God, I can say for certain and from experience that he holds your hand and carries you when he needs to. And then you can look back and just say, I'm not quite sure how I made it, but I know God was with me.
You know what? You know, of course, being a part of that and hearing that and walking through that spiritually with Crystal and relationally with Crystal, it shows how God can hit a bullseye with a crooked stick. And when you look
at— I'm a crooked stick?
I think we all are. That's the point.
Well, you know, and Crystal and I walking through this book, and we begin to look at some of the ladies in the book and how their story ended. I mean, how Esther's story ended. Crystal's talking about how Rahab's story ended. How Sarah, who laughed at God, how her story ended. Over and over again, you see how these stories ended, where God met people in their pain, met women in their pain, and gave them hope and help and deliverance and victory and sustenance and supply, and then used them to advance his cause and kingdom and history. And what that means is that you're not a leftover lady. You are creme de la creme. No matter where you are now, that doesn't have to be how your story ends. And that's why we're excited about this book, because what it does is it offers ladies the power and purpose and possibilities that are still in front of you, no matter where you are at this given moment.
Well, and I think the difficulty is when you are trying to live up to the standard that is expressed in Scripture, that can be demoralizing if you're doing it in your own power. Proverbs 31, for example, you know, when I talk to women about that verse or that proverb, it can be either liberating or a weight. Because I don't measure up like that. I don't get up early. I don't buy and sell real estate. I don't make fabric. They feel it more as a task that they can't achieve, as opposed to the spirit of the woman described in Proverbs 31. How do you manage that as a woman? How do you embrace that and say, I don't have to be her. I can be who God made me to be and glorify God in that?
Well, I think the key with that woman is that she was doing a lot. She wasn't doing it all at the same time. The other thing is that, and you mentioned this, is that it's the spirit of that scripture. It's the spirit of the woman. It's not literally saying that every woman, if she doesn't have a sewing machine and can't make clothes from scratch, that she's a failure.
Right.
What it's saying is that she sees to the needs of herself and her household, and she takes pride in herself and her family when they walk out the door. Mm. And a wise woman once told me, when you get up in the morning, before you put your feet on the floor, if you stretch your hands towards heaven and ask God what's important to him for you that day, and to let him know that you're open to any of his interruptions, that you're open to anything that is not on your agenda, but you're open to his agenda, then he will order your steps. on that day. And that kind of sets you free, that you don't have to necessarily complete this list that comes down to you from other people, that you're only responsible for doing what God wants you to do. That means we're not going to do everything, and we're not going to do everything all at the same time. But we can do well what he's asked us to do and accomplish what he's put before us.
For the woman that feels overwhelmed, though, and she doesn't even know how to make that space because she's getting up out of bed and dashing to get the kids ready or dashing to her checklist of chores or things that she needs to do before 8 o'clock, what wisdom would you give her? How can she do that differently to get her day ordered?
Well, you know, I think about Jesus, and he was very busy all the time, but he made space. And by space, I don't mean, you know, an hour-long quiet time with God where you're on your hands and knees and your kids don't interrupt you. What I mean is it could be in the car on the way to work that you're talking to God, or maybe it's time that you spend with him listening to the radio and just having a quiet time with him. But you have to make time. And Jesus did the same thing. He was a very busy person. He was constantly pulling away to rest, pulling away to have quiet, and pulling away to talk to the Father. Mm-hmm.
Tony, what Crystal just said about that commitment that we should have toward the Lord in all facets of life, when we wake up, the first thing we do, acknowledge him. It seems so simple to know that, but why is it so difficult to do it? We know the path, but we struggle.
Well, it's difficult because we've got three enemies out there, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and they're full-time distracting us from doing just that. If we really knew how powerful it was and is to have God at the center, and we operate under his rule as a consistent orientation to life, then what is complex may still be complex, but we would be overcoming it. It wouldn't be overcoming us. And that is the nature of an overcomer. You can't be an overcomer unless you have something to overcome. And so all the complexity of life that we have to overcome, God has said that if you will operate under my rule, bring me to bear on the simple and the complex, I may not take it from you, but I will walk with you through it, and we will come through this together.
And I think the Lord really loves, I'll use that word, I think he loves to see his children respond to him. I'll give you an example. You may not know this. I don't think you do. Many years ago, probably in the early 90s, I was working at Focus on the Family. I was traveling. I was at an airport. I saw you and your wife. You had bought, I think it was maybe an Egg McMuffin.
Sounds like me.
And you, which I enjoy. But you sat down at the gate with your wife at a busy gate at an airport. I can't even remember the airport. But I saw you take your wife's hand and you prayed over your little Egg McMuffin right in the front of everybody. And I thought that was such a powerful little faith step. And it spoke to me. I didn't come over to you because I didn't want to bug you. But I just saw you from a distance. And you live that kind of life where you'll take a moment to acknowledge God. I saw it in action. And that's a time when you could have just blown it off. But you didn't. And that's what you're talking about. Mm.
Yeah, I'm talking about bringing God to bear on the little things, the little everyday things, as well as the big things that are emergencies. That's kingdom living. Kingdom living is living under his rule, no matter what the situation is about. And when women do that, as well as when men do that, kingdom men and kingdom women, and when they do that together, if they're married or in a relationship, when you do that together, boy, you are bringing heaven down to speak to hell, and heaven will win.
Mm. Every time.
Every time.
Crystal, that's a great point. How do we tune into the Lord? How does a woman who's got that hectic pace of life, that is frazzled, job, kids, husband, how does she calm down to hear the voice of God?
You find him in the moments, the little moments. They don't have to be these big moments. I have had lots of different seasons in my life where God met me on the treadmill. God met me in the car. I would tell the kids it's quiet time, and it's really more about me needing quiet time than it is about them.
How'd that work out for you, by the way?
You know, it works every now and then. It works every now and then. But you find little moments. And I think, you know, depending on your season of life, there's an older lady in my life, and she loves the fact that she's older and single because she has hours and hours and hours to spend with the Lord. Well, that's not my story. But it wasn't her story either when she was younger and had small children. It's not the story of a lot of working women, even if they're single and don't have any children. You're just busy, you know, trying to get to work, trying to get things done. But when Jesus was here and he was walking on the street and the woman with the issue of blood touched him, it wasn't long that he spent with her. I mean, there's a mention of it in the scriptures. But in that moment, she got power from him and she was healed. Mm-hmm. And so I think the goal is not to say that we have these extraordinarily long and gorgeous prayer times. I think the goal is, are you positioning yourself where he can touch you?
Crystal, following up on that, I wonder if there is an example for you personally of when it was so crystal clear what God was saying to you. I mean, he just spoke, maybe in the brokenness, in the busyness. What's one of the more powerful times God got your attention?
When I was in college and I was pregnant with my first daughter, I was really struggling a lot with just my value as a person. And I read one scripture, wrote it down on a sheet of paper. It was about my value to him. It was in Psalm 139. That led me to go on a search in the scriptures looking for verses of how God loved me. I wrote all those scriptures down on notebook paper, stapled them together. It was about three or four pieces of paper, folded it up, walked around with it in my purse for 3 years. So I have those pieces of paper and they've yellowed with time. Mm-hmm. But those were scriptures. It wasn't a deep Bible study. You know, I didn't go and have a group. There was no long DVD session. It was just God's word spoken to me on a notebook sheet of paper that I read over and over and over again to rehearse his love for me. Mm-hmm. And I think in the simplicity of God's messages to us is where we find value in him. Mm.
There's another story that I don't know if Crystal remembers this or not, but I remember it. And that is, she writes down everything and she carries around a little book that she keeps all of her notes in. And she had mistakenly left it on the top of the car. And she went and drove off. And of course, it flew off. And when she noticed that she didn't have it and then remembered she had put it on the top of the car, she had now driven a long way away from it. And yet her whole life was in this book. And she came home and told me the story that she pulled over to the side and said, "You promised, Lord, that you would be my father. You know how much I need this book with all my notes in it. And I don't know where it is. And I need you to be my father right now." Mm-hmm. An hour or so later, she got a call from a guy who saw it lay on the side of the road and called her to say he found the book and she could come get it. And so that little story that I heard from her let me see how God is concerned about notebooks when they're important to you mm-hmm. in that situation in her life. So that was a good reminder for me. And I think a good reminder for all ladies that God wants to be your father comprehensively. He wants to be over you in every area of life, big and small.
You know, that's a great point, Tony, that when we rely upon the Lord shows up. Crystal, for the woman who is struggling like that, who hasn't felt the Lord's touch, the Lord's hand, in her life, how would she go about connecting to God?
There are times in life where you feel God's touch directly. There are, I call them his soft kisses for me. There are other times when you feel God's touch through other people. And there are times when I couldn't feel God personally, but I could feel the hand of a friend or the hug of a mother figure in the church. And I think that's where connectivity, especially in the body of Christ, is so important. Because God shows up in lots of different ways. He shows up personally where, you know, you hear him speaking to you and you know that he heard that breath prayer and he shows up like that notebook story. And there are other times when you know he's there because somebody hugs you real good and you know that God sent you that person on that day.
So sensing those things as gifts from God is a good first step, knowing what's good in life and that all good things come from the Lord.
That's right.
We're going to pause there, but there's a lot more to come next time from our guests, Dr. Tony Evans and Crystal Evans Hurst, about being a kingdom woman. If you'd like to find out more about walking an authentic life of faith and becoming all who God intends you to be, stop by our website, where you'll also find tools and resources to help your family thrive. Our program was provided by Focus on the Family, and on behalf of Jim Daly and the entire team here, thanks for listening in. I'm John Fuller.
I listened in close when our guests were talking about the importance of finding time for the Lord, acknowledging him first thing in the morning, because there seems to always be something distracting us. And as Dr. Tony Evans simply put it, it is the world, the flesh, and the devil. It's so easy to believe that we can't compete with those distractions. But I know that I want to make every effort not to neglect that connection time with God. Our guests are joining us again on tomorrow's program, so please tune in for that. And be aware that these programs are available on our website, via podcast, and through our Focus Africa app. Now, you heard about the book, Kingdom Woman, Embracing Your Purpose, Power, and Possibilities on the program today, and I really want to encourage you to get a copy of that. You can call us on 031-716-3300 or visit our website at safamily.co.za. I do hope you'll join us tomorrow for the conclusion of our program. I'm Alison Schnell for Focus on the Family Africa, inviting you back then, when we'll once again help you and your family thrive in Christ.